Welcome in, everybody. It's time. Yes, it is indeed. And we welcome you into episode number 97 of Three Guys Before the Game. The Senator is here. Nathan Adrian is here. And we got something else really special that's here. You'll see it later on in the program. Our pandering and our begging for food has finally come through, and we'll talk about that later on in our podcast. West Virginia and the Frogs of TCU got together on Tuesday night in the Morgantown. You know that by now if you're listening to this. We'll break it down in detail. What's it all mean? West Virginia on the road again. Third straight weekend coming up here. West Virginia on the road. We'll take on the Sooners of Oklahoma on Saturday, and we'll get into that. Our podcast is being brought to us by the good folks from Bet Lucky. Check it out for yourself and download the app right now. Sports wagering is alive and well in the state of West Virginia. If you're over the age of 21, you can download the Bet Lucky app. Designate either Wheeling Island or the Mardi Gras Casino, and their special entry offer for you is that you will get two times your first bet back in bonus money, up to $20. So check it out. It is Bet Lucky. They sponsor Three Guys Before the Game. And a reminder that in all wagering, all games are regulated by the West Virginia Lottery. Please play responsible. Is this the first time? Is this the first time in the calendar year that we've done this podcast coming off of a Mountaineer victory?
Yeah, because the other two previous conference wins were followed by a Monday game, which was a loss, allowed us or had us doing a podcast on a Tuesday following a loss.
Those were split podcasts.
Correct.
Win-loss.
Correct.
Yeah, but not this one. Not this one. All right, folks, so here we go. You know, I like to throw out numbers if you're a regular. So I said to myself, what's changed with this West Virginia team? People talking to you when you see them, you know, you run into people about this team all of a sudden. They've got people energized again. Why? Because they're playing like a team. They're playing hard. They're playing like you would expect, you would hope, for your team to play. But why is that happening when the roster has been trimmed? How much have they improved? It's been four games now. It's been four games now since West Virginia has had the dismissals of Issa Ahmad and Wes Harris. And what's changed with this basketball team? Here's some numbers for you. In the three games prior to the dismissals, West Virginia was getting beat by an average of 26 points per game. Do not adjust your headphones. West Virginia was losing by an average of 26 points per game in the three games prior to the dismissal announcement. In the most recent three games since, West Virginia is being outscored by 1.6 points per game, a total of 5 points over the last three games. Obviously, it was a 6-point loss, a 7-point loss, and then an 8-point win. So you do the math on that. It comes out to 5. 5 divided by 3 is 1.6. So, yeah, things have certainly changed. Tuesday night's victory over the Frogs of TCU, unexpected and memorable and record-setting. 104-96, triple overtime, just the sixth triple overtime game in school history. Who would have thought it? Who would have thought it? Senator, the dust has settled. Everyone's gotten sleep since. What's your takeaway, and what should our takeaway be from Tuesday's win?
So there's a bunch of individual performances we need to get into here in a minute. There were some guys that individually stepped up and played extraordinarily well. I mean, best in history type performances from multiple guys. But I think you put those together, those individual performances, and I walk away with what I think is the biggest moment coming out of there. We had talked so much about confidence, so much about you have to do it. You have to go through it. You have to figure it out on your own. Somebody can't tell you how to win games, especially close games. I thought that's what I'll walk away from this game with. And if this team and program ends up getting back to where it was, I think we'll point back to this game and say, that's when it came together. For these guys to be able to have the season they're having with loss upon loss upon loss and those blowout losses, and yet here in this one, there were multiple times this group could have just said, nah, not our night again. We're going to lose. We're done. We're done.
Multiple times.
How many buzzer beaters did West Virginia miss in this game? I mean, that's a season's worth. That might be four seasons worth that you get three buzzer beater opportunities, let alone you miss them all, let alone in the same game. Yet you persevere with a young group. I thought that's the epitome of what we've been talking about here, of having to go through it and find a way to win and learn what that takes. Now, again, I don't want to get too far down the road on what that means, but I do think that helped these guys grow up quite a bit the other night.
Nate the Skate, you have been practicing with this team. You said on our last show, you could sense that they were practicing harder, they were focused, everyone was bought in. Did you sense this, or did you see this potentially being a possibility?
Yeah, we saw it as a possibility. Going into the game, everyone, but the majority of the people that have been in that facility thought we were going to come in and compete and probably win this game because of how competitive practice has been and because people have been listening again. People have been listening to everything the coaches have to say. You don't have people doing other stuff, doing their own thing. They're buying into the program, and that's what you need to do to win here, and especially with the type of coaches we have and the type of program we run, you have to be bought in 100% in order to win, and that hasn't happened until this game.
Again, one game does not make a season. Get it. And the Senator is always saying, one game does not make a trend. Totally agree with you, 100%. However, what happened on Tuesday is difficult to comprehend. If you were just to put it down on paper and say, you're going to host a team that's got three 1,000-point scores, three 1,000-point scores on NCAA hope. They had to come in here and win.
Yes.
They're 6-8 coming in. They needed to leave 7-8. Instead, they go out 6-9. And you're going to play and start the game. You're going to start the game with four guys that were not in your program a year ago. Huh? Oh, one more. That team beat you by 31 points a month ago. Okay, have at it. And three of the players that played in the game in Fort Worth aren't going to play tonight. You're going to have eight scholarship guys. One game is one game is one game, but this one in some way, shape, or form will always go down as either incredibly memorable or, on the upside of it, a seminal moment in Mountaineer basketball in this current generation.
Well, that's a really good point, because if it just is a one-off, and let's get into some of these individual performances. If it's a one-off, it's an amazing game. It was an amazing one night at the Coliseum. That was a lot of fun. Multiple overtimes, people standing for the end of each overtime. These individual things we're going to get into. The best possible scenario, if these guys end up getting back to that level that I mentioned earlier, it turns into West Virginia-Louisville football when Pat White and Steve Slayton emerged on the scene. Ooh, ooh. So that's what the high end could be, right?
So now you're talking religion.
Well, that was a launching pad for those guys in that football program.
You're exactly right.
Right? How many times do we sit and go, remember that Louisville game? That's what launched that. Steve Slayton, Pat White came in for an injured Adam Bednarik.
Triple overtime.
That's what I'm saying. There's your ceiling. That's the high end. And if it doesn't end up being that, it was just a really fun night at the Coliseum. One of the things that I think you can take out of there, though, remember after Kansas State, I came in here and I said it was weird for the season that we saw three Mountaineers play 30 minutes or more in that game. And I went back and looked and said, how often does that happen? And it happened 18 times last year. There was at least three Mountaineer players last season that played 30 minutes or more. You had a core. Right, you had a core every night that you went into with. This season, that Kansas State game had only been the second time that had happened. You had seen so much lineup shuffling. Who's going to take the job? Who's going to take the minutes? Who's going to play? Now fast forward to what happened the other night. For the first time in school history, four guys played 50 minutes or more. 50 minutes or more. And Lamont West had 40 plus. So you talk about a core. You got a core group of guys that just said, you know, I know the bench is short. That's part of that reason. But they just said, get out of the way. We got it. Haley's down cramping up. He says, fine. He pulled an Adrian. Says, I'm fine. I'm hurt. I'm just, let me play.
Yeah.
So you had a core group of guys step up.
Yeah.
That matters.
Yeah, it's amazing. And again, it may just be one game that's memorable, but think about this. West Virginia's played basketball for well over 100 years. No Mountaineer has ever put together the stat line that Jordan McCabe put together in one night. To me, I find this incredibly interesting. I find it so interesting that here's this young guy that we were talking about here a year ago. Hey, there's this kid in Wisconsin. He's making all kinds of big-time plays. He wins the state championship with a walk-off bucket, basically. Scores over 2,000 points among the all-time leaders in the state's history. And to this point this season, he had struggled, was uncomfortable, had not been in a rhythm. And then over the last couple of games, it's almost like he has this just transformation where he becomes the type of a player he was when he was in high school. Like, I'm the guy, I'll run this deal, and just come along with me here. You just saw that confidence. Remember last time we said, the last time on the last episode, I said he's got bounce and he plays in rhythm. When things go, he really gets going. So he's the first ever to have 25 or more points in a game, 5 or more rebounds in a game, 10 or more assists in a game, and 5 or more steals in a game. So no one had ever done that. I mean, prior to that, Rod Thorne had the 5-plus rebounds, the 25 points, and the 10 or more assists, but didn't have the steals. So Thorne was the last guy. That's 1963. So just an amazing number. And then Derek Culver.
Hold on one second. I'm sorry. Can I jump in here real
sure.
quick? Before you go to Culver, I want to add one more stat line to McCabe there, to your point of how he grew up so quickly and there was a transformation. So he played 50 minutes the other night in that game. 50. In the previous four games, he had combined for 55 minutes played. So he almost matched his previous four-game total in one game, hence leading to all that production.
Derek Culver. 260 pounds, 50 minutes. That's hard to do for a big, right?
Not for Derek.
I know that. I understand that, right? And I know that. You're exactly right. He's different. He's the guy that can win all the sprints on the team whenever he wants. 22 points, 21 rebounds, 8 of 12 from the field, 6 out of 7 from the free throw line. And despite the fact that he had 8 turnovers, he almost triple-doubled. I mean, he almost triple-doubled. So it just pretty wild stuff. Jermaine Haley's numbers, 18 points, 8 rebounds, 6 assists, 2 steals. He goes 52 minutes and 8 of 12 from the free throw line. And as you said, he'll always be remembered for getting up off the ground after he cramped and finishing it. And there was a funny basket that he scored at the end. He went down the right side baseline late in the game, missed the initial shot, got the rebound and put it up and in. If you go back and watch it, he's so tired and the defender's so tired, neither of them jumps. It was kind of just like,
Get up there.
You're reaching up the top of the shelf to pick something up. But that's the deal, man. That's the deal. So what's it all mean? Why, how, right? I think this becomes a case study, not only for sports. I think it happens in the world all of the time. That sometimes, because we've put blinders on, that we don't realize that changes need to be made. We're unwilling to make the change, or we don't feel comfortable making the change. And as a result, your efficiency and your productivity is decreased from what it could be. You're not maximizing your productivity. It's addition through subtraction. And that's just not a catchphrase. It's true. And there's also something, I started to sniff around here a little bit more on this concept. There's something that's called relationship dissolution. You end relationships. And when you end relationships, things get better. Because as you said, now everyone's practicing hard. No one's got their own agenda. There's no BS. BS lingered over this team. Drama lingered over this team all season to this point. There's no BS now. Because now like the BS is like not accepting that. But they hung on, they hoped they could get rid of it, and it didn't get rid of it. Finally, When everything cleaned itself, it purged. Now you're going out there and you play your last three games and you got a shot. K-State, Baylor, and you beat TCU. So to me, I look at this thing and just, it's a head shaker. It's like, don't be scared in the future to cut the piece off and just to get the ultimate.
And I think we learned that in 2012 and 13 too. We got rid of a bunch of guys, and then the year after that, we got rid of Aaron and Terry, and everybody thought, oh, we're screwed. They're not going to win any games next year, and then we go to the Sweet 16. Sometimes things just don't fit for people, and you got to move on, and then you get better.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, for both sides, it just doesn't work. If you don't want to buy in, then you're better off somewhere else,
mm-hmm.
and the rest of the guys are better off somewhere else. And you got to cut it, man. I wonder over time how much Hugs will look back at this and probably say, should have done it sooner. And that was my bad for trying to make it work. Now he's had it twice here, right? Twice now with that first group that you mentioned and now this. And now I think in the future, it's just like, remember what he said after that in 12-13? He said, I told my coaches, I want my guys. I want to go back to my guys. Well, okay. So, relationship dissolution, addition through subtraction. That's what West Virginia's experiencing. Does it mean any more wins for the rest of this season? I don't know. The one thing I do know is they'll stick their face in the fan now and they'll play. Whether that's good enough remains to be seen.
But well, I think we're going to learn a lot come Saturday because we're going to learn how this team handles a little bit of success and how they handle everybody being behind them and how they handle going into practice off of a win, knowing having to prepare for another game. And that's something a lot of college students don't know how to do because you get a little bit of credit for doing something good and you get comfortable and you get complacent and you don't work as hard as you did after you lost. I mean, it's easier to go in the gym and get shots up after you go 1-for-10 as opposed to if you go 10-for-10 and you think you're great, you don't think you got to work on anymore even though you do.
Yeah, well, remember Coach Rod. Coach Rod used to say, don't pat them on the fanny because they'll poop in your hand. Think about it, right? If you do, love them up. Oh, yeah, you guys are great. Yeah, everyone at the Mountain Lair over at Chick-fil-A. Hey, you guys, Jordan. Hey, you guys, hey, Jermaine, you're doing great. Hey. You lose your edge.
Yeah.
And that's mental toughness. Well, you got to be mentally tough.
And so it's a good point, Nate. And so they're entering the thing that we've said all along is the hardest part of this, and that's consistency. That's to, okay, stack another good performance on top of that good performance, but you've got opportunity here. I mean, I look at those games with some winnable games left on the schedule here, and if nothing else, they've at least breathed some life back into this program. I mean, this season was done. It was in the coffin was closed. And all of a sudden, at least for one night, you've kicked the coffin open and sat right up and say, okay, here we go. We're back. We're not done yet. We're not done. We got a few games left. Let's see what they do now moving forward.
You know, Hugs always tells a story about legendary coach Abe Lemons on his coach's show. They were having a horrible season, and they opened up his coach's show with a shot of a casket. And they lowered down the shot, and the shot's lower, and the show is opening. It's all dark. And the casket lid lifts open, and Abe Lemons pops out of the casket and says, "We ain't dead yet."
That's what this team just did the other night.
Exactly. Exactly. So we'll see what happens. Saturday, believe it or not, despite the fact that West Virginia only has 3 league wins this season, the Mountaineers can sweep Oklahoma on Saturday, going for the 2-game sweep against the Sooners. What's going to happen? I got no idea. This league is absolutely every night is zany world, right? Oklahoma State goes in last night, goes OT with a Texas Tech. Baylor, Texas goes overtime. So the last 3 Big 12 games have gone to overtime. West Virginia's and the 2 last night.
And Texas was up double digits
19
in that game. I mean, and
19.
Baylor was showing no ability to close that or make a run, and yet they force overtime and get the win.
Some are saying in the Texas circles now that that may have been the that might have been the nail inside the Shaka Smart coffin. Just can't have that happen. So we'll wait. We'll see what shakes down. What shakes down there? Do we even want to jump ahead? Who's going to be what name are you going to put in at Texas if they make the move?
No, not yet.
I got a name.
Oh well, okay, go ahead.
You got a name?
No, because I haven't thought about him getting fired till right now.
Buzz Williams.
That'd be a good one.
Texas
guy. There's some talk of him at A&M as well.
Yeah, it'll eventually
they have
happen
an opener.
There. Yeah, it'll eventually happen there. All right, so that's the deal. Now, listen, do we need to apologize? I don't know if we need to apologize. Maybe we need to apologize. There might be an apology from episode 96, the Madagascar email. I mean, we've received a lot of reaction. It was memorable. In case you missed it,
that's a word
I strongly encourage you to go back to the last episode and listen to the last 3 minutes. I had one of the security guys come up to me at the Coliseum the other night. He's just shaking his head. He said, I never thought it would go there. You all right with it? No, you all right?
No, I'm not all right with it. It was horrific.
It was
scarred.
Real. By the way, it's true. Did you see the person on the on Twitter put the actual ceremony
YouTube? I saw they tweeted, I refused to watch it. Much like I didn't want to participate in that segment of the podcast, I certainly wasn't going to voluntarily go watch it.
It was
I appreciate the listener doing that, but I was not watching it.
It was absolutely wonderful.
Not watching it.
So we appreciate that very much. And it was, I think it was a cultural, excuse me?
I was talking to Brad, I was consoling him. It's a magical moment for him.
Terrific.
It was a cultural experience for us, and we grew from it. Now, on another note,
you can read it. Okay. You can read it. Now get back to it and normalize a little bit here. Let's normalize this segment a little bit.
Now we're going to go domestic, and here we go. Received an email from a gentleman by the name of Isaac Hay. And a wonderful, longtime listener here of Three Guys as we approach 100 episodes. So this is what he wrote. So to start, I'm a transplanted mountaineer. I was born and raised in Mingo County. So these pepperoni rolls are a family recipe developed deep in the coal fields of southern West Virginia. The optimal consumption is on a crisp October afternoon, standing in the shadows of Milan Puskar Stadium while drinking a cold beer, as Hugs would say. You asked for some tips, so here you go. Can we bring the pepperoni rolls in? Do we have crew here? Can we bring the pepperoni rolls in that Isaac sent to us? Oh yes, indeed. Thank you. By the way, he put them in a gold and blue box and everything. So here you go. Here, yeah, nice and room temperature and everything. Here we go. Give some over there. So here we go. You asked for some tips on pepperoni rolls, so here you go. You, all capitalized, must use high-quality stick pepperoni, none of the sliced junk. It also must be cut by hand to ensure symmetry in the chunks. It is also key to use hot pepper cheese. No other cheese brings out the flavor of the pepperoni quite like the hot pepper. I will keep the dough a secret, as I have for years, but perfecting the dough is crucial. I also go a little further with a special seasoned butter that I brush on the rolls before they enter the oven. Some may say they are only pepperoni rolls, but to me, they are a science. I hope you all enjoy them as much as I enjoyed making them for you. It is a great day to be a Mountaineer wherever you may be in Ohio for me. Isaac Hay, Mountaineer for 33 years. So, folks,
they smell good.
Well, sure, yeah, they smell good. I mean, look at the way he wrapped them; got gold and blue, and it's just a wonderful. And here we go. Can we get some tight? Well, there we go. Senator is going in. The senator with a right hand hold on the pepperoni roll, put most of the pepperoni roll into the right side cheek, going down with a chew. Took a little bit of an inhalation there. Now getting some seasoning, tasting in the mouth, trying to get a feel. Senator, early call.
That's very good. Very good. Bread's excellent, as we know. That's the key here.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
The cheese, I like the hot cheese. That's a great move. Now, I have to admit, normally I am actually a slice guy. Now, I don't turn any pepperoni roll down.
I like liking what those chunks are doing, don't you?
The seasoned butter on top.
Mm-hmm.
That's solid.
I like the amount of cheese in it. Big cheese.
Yeah. You know
you really can't
things.
Put too much cheese in around or on.
Nope. I must admit, I tested these yesterday. I had three.
Wow.
Crushed three yesterday. So what's interesting with what he does with the stick is, yes, it is stick pepperoni, but he doesn't leave it as a whole stick.
Right.
He dices the stick, so you're getting diced stick pepperoni on every bite.
Which, that's what I love, because usually my problem with the stick is there's some bites that I don't get a pepperoni in there. I want pepperoni and cheese in each bite.
There's three sticks on one half and a bunch of bread on the other half. That's no good.
Right.
Perfect.
These are very good.
Pretty good.
Pretty strong.
All I'm saying is this. Game's on, listeners. Mm-hmm. You going to beat Isaac Hay out of Ohio? I mean, you're going to defend? We're here for you. Just let us know. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're equal opportunity. But right now, Isaac Hay's in the clubhouse, and he's feeling good about his chances. Absolutely outstanding.
Sorry, Sean.
Yeah. That would be your cousin's wife.
Well, those are pretty good,
hers
too.
Hers were good, too.
They weren't bad, either.
Hers were good, too.
We probably have some recency bias.
But
that factors.
So thanks
but
very
Isaac's
much.
But Isaac's the leader today.
And I'm just glad of this. I'm glad we got these from Isaac, and we didn't get a package of something from Madagascar.
I'm not eating anything that arrives from
Madagascar. I'm eating the vanilla and the chocolate when it comes.
You can have it.
Absolutely, yeah. That's it, folks. Episode 97, Three Guys Before the Game, addition through subtraction in the book. We're back at you next week. Thanks for being with us. Three Guys Before the Game, brought to us by Bet Lucky. Download the Bet Lucky app, sports gaming in West Virginia, on your phone. Check it out at betlucky.com. For Nathan, for the Senator, for Isaac, the pepperoni roll man, he wins, he's in. We're out. See you.